Well, good morning. I tell you, this week's been a really rough week for me in some respects. In other respects, it's been a week of such great joy as I hear all the things that God did this week. And yet there's so much more that we want God to do for us. And this morning, this message is a little different because it comes from after about a year, a question that's been on my mind for about a year and that I would ask many different men of God about. And my hope and prayer is this morning that when you leave here, by the end of the day, that you will really know how much God loves you. The question that I had in my mind, this for been a whole year, it comes from a verse that we had on a Wednesday night prayer meeting here. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm not gonna read it word for word, but it goes like this. It's found in Philippians 3:18, and it's where Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and he says this: "Even as I write these words, I weep for those who are enemies of the cross." And the question that I asked myself was, God, why don't I weep for those who are enemies of the cross? What is it that drove Paul to weep for those who are enemies of the cross? What is it? As he wrote those words, and he writes, and he lists a whole bunch of other things afterwards to kind of describing who are enemies of the cross. But what is it that would cause someone to weep as they write out a letter? So that's, as you can understand, I got many different answers from the different men of God. I asked Lynn and Willis this. I asked my father this. I asked many other pastors this. And other men. And I got quite a few different answers. Tuesday at Brooklyn, I went there with the group, and if you've never been to Brooklyn, I'm going to plan another trip in the summer, in the evening, just to go for the prayer meeting, because it's just a little taste of heaven. Every nation, I say every nation, I don't know if every nation, I shouldn't say that, but just people from all over the world. Worshiping God, and then praying for people all over the world. I had people that laid hands on me for this morning who were from China or from Taiwan. Two ladies to my right, a couple ladies and a man to my left. I don't know how many people behind me. And they prayed like I've never heard anybody pray before. It makes tears come to your eyes when you know the love of God is on everybody all over the world. But I had a hard time praying in the afternoon until I got some things worked out with the Lord that were in my own life. He wouldn't let me weep for those who were enemies of the cross. He wouldn't let me weep for those who I knew don't know Jesus, those who are struggling with something. It wasn't until then that He opened up the floodgates. And I'm not saying that you're going to weep every day, every moment of the day, because I don't think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be full of joy and peace. But there is something about having a burden on your heart for people that allows you to weep. And the simple verse kept cropping in my mind. We all can say it from a little as a child we're taught it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The simple little two-letter word, so. So I was going to title the sermon this morning, So. Just to kind of give your minds the thought, what is so? What does He mean by so? And then I said, no, Actually, when I was telling Kim and them, I said, no, the other title of the sermon is So Much Love and Wrath. Because as you'll see when we go to where God laid me a passage on my heart, you'll see how much love He had for you and for me in the midst of the tremendous amount of wrath, the greatest wrath in all of history, that He loved us. And then I'm like, no, that sounds depressing when you think of the word wrath. And I'm supposed to be a man who brings life to people, reconciling them to Jesus Christ, so I don't want to put the word wrath in there because that might be a little depressing. So I decided to say, so much love. That's the title of the sermon this morning. We'll come back to John 3:16 quite a bit, but I want to go to a passage here. But before I do, I just want to pray. And I want to ask God to really pour out His love on you, whether today during church or this afternoon at night, wherever you may be at, that the love of God would fall on you so much that it will radically change the way Maranatha or us as believers here in this church love each other and love those who are enemies of the cross. Father, gracious Father, I thank You. I thank You for what You've done. I want to bless Your name this morning, Father. These are my brothers and sisters sitting here. They're my friends, and You love them. There may be someone sitting here who doesn't know what love is like, Father. I'm going to ask that You pour Your Spirit upon them before this day is over so they will really know how much You love them. I thank You, Father, and I give You the glory for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to your Bibles if you got it. I'm doing something a little different out of the ordinary. I study at home out of the King James, but it's one of the old languages, so it's a little different. So I got a new Bible, and I'm going to read to you out of this translation, which I think they're going to put a CEV up there on the wall. So the wording may be a little different. Go with me to Matthew 26:36-44. And I may stop as I go through here, so though I'll just have to bear with me on the screen. I'm not going to continue to go through here. But I want you to listen to what happened here. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove, or called Gethsemane. And He said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." And He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John. And He became very anguished and distressed. And He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me." What drives a man or a woman today to weep for those who are enemies of the cross? This is the very heart of God. Jesus was so moved with what He was going to suffer. The wrath of His Father poured out on all of mankind. Instead of pouring it out on us, He's going to pour it out all on His Son. Now, the wrath isn't against you. It's not against me as a person. It is against what? The sin of the whole world. And you see, Jesus knew what His Father's wrath was like. He saw it when He destroyed the flood. You know, they got a movie out, Noah, and I won't say go to that movie. I've heard bad things about that. But He destroyed the whole earth with a flood, so He saw His Father's wrath there. He saw His Father's wrath when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with hail, fire, and brimstone. He saw His Father's wrath when He split the ground wide open and swallowed up the sons of Korah for rebelling against the word of the Lord. He saw His Father's wrath the entire time throughout of history. And He knew that. He knew that wrath. The other thing I looked about this passage in this, it says, "My soul was crushed with grief to the point of death." Have you ever been to that point in your life where your soul has been crushed so much that you just want to die? At Brooklyn, Pastor Simbala there gave the story of Elijah. Right, man, he just called down fire from hell, from heaven, and destroyed all the prophets of Baal. And then he went right into the wilderness right after that and said, "Kill me, Lord." I mean, that's crushed to the point of death. "Kill me, Lord." Some of you may have felt that a time or two in your life. But I want you to get a picture here of what Jesus looked like. It says he went a little bit further in verse 39 and bowed with his face to the ground, praying. Now the King James Version, the way I study it, says he fell flat on his face. He fell on his face to the ground before his father. And he says, "Oh, Father!" Here it says, "My Father," with an exclamation poured out. But that's what he said, "Oh, Father!" And he begins to pour out his heart to the Father. And he says, "If this possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Not my will, but your will." Now this is going on for a period of time, because it comes later on. He says he went back after an hour. In Luke, it says that he was so wretched of spirit that he actually sweated drops of blood. Doctors today will say that if you get in an anguish of spirit, your body can change sweat to blood. But I want you to get this picture. As he comes back to Peter, James, and John, as he comes back to them, he's sweating there on the ground, wrestling with his father. His father had never, ever denied Jesus anything up to this point that I could find in Scripture. Never said once, "I'm not going to heal this person for you, son," when he called on his name. "I'm never going to raise Lazarus from the dead." He never said any of that to his son. But this one time he said to his son, "No, I'm not going to honor your request. I'm not pulling my wrath back from pouring it out on you, because I love them so much. I love you so much." Some of you may never grew up in a home where love was readily felt. I was very blessed that my father made a choice to say he loved me, because his dad never did. Pastor conference this year, we did an exercise that we'll do here someday when it's time is appropriate. In this exercise, we were to do some things, and I'm not going to tell it because then I'll ruin the exercise. But we were supposed to do some things, and at the end, we were supposed to take the person that was next to us and pray with them. And I won't ever forget this man. He was crying during this exercise, and I couldn't figure out what he was crying about. You know, because to me, everything that happened in there was, I was crying, but I was crying because of the joy of the Lord that was on me. But this man was crying. And so how are you supposed to pray for someone who's crying? How do you pray? I didn't know how to pray. I was like, Lord, I know your Bible says, your word tells me that you groan with groanings that I cannot understand. So, Father, I'm going to ask that you pour out your Spirit on me, that I can pray for this man in such a way that I know your heart for him. So I began to pray. The only thing I could say was, "Father, will you just let your love fall on this man?" And the man began to weep, shake, had to sit down. I just kept praying. I didn't know what else said. I kept right on praying. When we were all said and done, he turned around and he put his arm around me and he said, "You know, my dad never said he loved me." And here was a man who was working with other men in prison who don't know the love of Jesus, who do not know what love really feels like. And there's some of you sitting here today that don't know that love either. I know that. I don't have to know your background. I can tell you that there are many people hurting today that don't know the love of Jesus. So I can just imagine this battle between God and his son back and forth. "Dad, I don't want to do this." "We're one. Why are you doing this to me, Father? Why are you pouring out your soul? Why are you going to pour out all your wrath?" The very heart of God is not, that is love. "You know that, Father. You sent me here to save them. Why are you going to do this to me? Why are you going to cut me off? I love them so much." Oh, he gets up, says, "All right, Lord. All right, Daddy. Because the Bible says, it says, Abba, Father. He was crying out, Abba, Father. It means daddy, daddy. And he comes back and he says, what? Peter, can't you stay with me for 1 hour? Do you think he said it like that? I don't know. In the KJV, this is what it says, what? And here it says, then he returned and said, he said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? I could just see the love Jesus had for Peter. The man he knew was going to deny him 3 times, was going to cut off the man's ear in a few minutes. This man who was bold, who was going to build his church on, but he couldn't even pray with him for 1 hour. What's that? 1 hour. Right, he couldn't stay awake or pray. He was sleeping. Sounds like me sometimes. When God says, pray for someone, and okay, Lord, I'll pray, and start to pray. I end up falling asleep. I can just hear God saying, what, Matt? Can't you stay up for 1 hour and pray for them? I love them so much. He says this, couldn't you even stay watch with me for 1 hour? Then he gives him a little bit of a rebuke. He says, all right, keep watch, pray, so that you were not given to temptation. Well, he knew he was going to go deny him 3 times. He already told him that. He knew the temptation was going to come upon him. But yet God is so gentle. For the spirit is willing and the body is weak. He knows that we're weak in our flesh. He knows that. He knows that about each one of us. And then he goes back to, again, going back, pouring out his heart. An angel comes in Luke. It says that angel came and strengthened him as he poured out his heart even more and more in anguish. Because he didn't want to be separated from his Father. He prayed that even as you and I are one, Father, so might I be one. This is how much God loves you. God loved you so much that he was willing to take all his built-up wrath for the sin, not about us as people, but for the sin of the whole world, and place it on his own Son. She was lying on the ground. In her arms, she held a tiny baby girl. As I put a cooked sweet potato into her outstretched arms, I wondered if she would live until morning. Her strength was almost gone, but her tired eyes acknowledged my gift. The sweet potato could help so little, but it was all I had. Taking a bite, she chewed it carefully. Then placing her mouth over her baby's mouth, she forced the soft, warm food into the tiny throat. Although the mother was starving, she used the entire potato to keep her baby alive. Exhausted from her effort, she dropped her head to the ground and closed her eyes. In a few minutes, the baby was asleep. I later learned that evening that during the night, mother's heart stopped, but her little girl lived. Love is a costly thing. That's just a little story. It may have had eternal impact. I don't know where that little girl is at today. But I can tell you one thing. The love that God has for you lasts forever. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The love of God is so great. And if you don't know that love today, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will fall on you and that you will have the love of God like you've never had before. Oh, how deep the love of God, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son for me and for you. You ever take John 3:16? Matter of fact, let's do that this morning. We all know John 3:16, right? Instead of saying the world, for God so loved the world, I want you to say, for God so loved, and then put your name in the place where the word world is. So we can do that together. For God so loved Matthew that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not have perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that's, place yourself in there, because that's what God did. He sent His only begotten Son. So much love. So much love. Well, you think it stopped there, right? No, it didn't. So what did He do? He went back and prayed. Again, go back to verse 42. Then it says, then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, My Father. And again, the agony, the crying out. Can you imagine what Peter and John and them saw when He come back? Face sweat. You ever see a sports player, right, playing ball? They're dripping sweat. Saturday night and you guys go play ball, you're going to be sweating. Armpits stinking. I mean, face just pouring sweat, drops off of it. Now I want you to picture that as Jesus, because He's sitting there on the ground, pouring out His heart to His Father. And the agony, the pain, the heart-wrenching, the gut-tearing pain that He had because He was going to be separated from His Father. With Peter, James, and John, don't you think that would have scared them and woke them up to see that? In Mark, it does say that they fell asleep because of their suffering. But He says, if this cup cannot be taken away, Your will be done. He humbled Himself. Hebrews 5:7 says this, that even as He cried tears of agony, gut-wrenching tears for you and for me, He learned obedience by the things He suffered. He learned obedience to His Father because of His love for you and for me. And He comes back, and when He found them again, He found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So He turned around and left. He didn't even say anything this time. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what that would be like. Maybe I can. Maybe it would be like me grabbing Brent, David, Joe, Dan. Maybe I'd be grabbing some of you guys and saying, brothers, come on, I need to pray. My heart is heavy. There's somebody in this church that needs Jesus. My heart is heavy for this person. And we begin to pray, and all of a sudden I look up, pouring out a heart, and they're all sleeping. That may be a silly illustration, but that's probably what it was like. He came to them and said, hey, my heart is heavy. We're going to pray for somebody who needs Jesus. Or the other way around. Somebody comes and grabs Matt, says, I want to pray for someone who needs Jesus. I want to pour my heart out. And I fall asleep. That's happened before for me. He comes back, and I didn't give this to them, but He comes back and He says to His disciples, and says, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest now. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Let's get going. My betrayer is here. See, Jesus knew all that. He had settled it. He was then willing to, ready to go to the cross. We'll be talking about that here in the future with the Easter time or year where we celebrate that death, resurrection of Jesus. But before that time happened, on this night, before He would go and be slain on a cross for you and for me, He had to wrestle with His Father. And His Father said, no, I love them so much. I'm sorry. I don't know about you this morning. Worship team, you can come on up. Very short message, but hopefully it's a very powerful message for you. We are going to worship God this morning because of all the great things He has done. I don't even remember what song they got lined up, but all I know is it talks about the love of God. And I want you to know something this morning, that if you do not know Jesus, you don't know His love. I'm going to ask that God really pour out His Spirit upon you. But if you do know His love, you better get up on your feet and worship Him like you've never worshipped Him before. You see, when they prayed in the early church, they prayed and they worshiped God, it says an earthquake came. Now, I've never been in a church where an earthquake came, but I'm telling you what, one day I would love to be in a church where they worship God and poured out their heart where an earthquake comes and falls on them, because I can tell you one thing, the nation around them will hear and they will glorify God in heaven. Or as the worship team begins to sing here, if you don't know Jesus and you don't know that love, come, I would love to pray with you. Put my arms around you and ask that God's love fall on you. But if you know God's love, shout it to the rooftops, because the love of God is so deep. It's so great. Goes beyond the highest star. You know, that's a Jewish hit poem. The love of God, oh, the love of God, how vast beyond all measure. You know that? A Jew wrote that. Someone who didn't know Jesus wrote how much God's love was years and years ago. Before the foundations of the world, Ephesians 4:1 says, before the foundations of the world, I loved you. I knew you. I chose you out. I called you forth to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to shout it out. And I don't know of any greater cause to worshiping God than that so much He loved us. If we can't do that as Christians, then man, we're putting Jesus back on that cross again. And I don't want to do that. He paid that once for me. He paid that once. Worship the Lord. Sing it out. And if you don't know Jesus, come forward and I'd love to pray with you.